I think it's become a little bit more obvious. This is the news according to me. It's Thursday, June 23rd at 6:44 a.m., almost 6:45 now, Eastern Standard Time, 2022. That's what it is. That's what it was. Good morning. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in to the show that is the show about the shows. It's your one-stop shopping place for all of your internet, interweb, ethosphere information. I'm a little bit groggy this morning. I've been up since about 4 a.m. this morning. It's this alarm issue we've got going on at my house. The alarms start going off at 4 a.m. And then by 5:30 or 6 o'clock, the individual, I won't mention any names, but the individual who sets these alarms to go off, multiple alarms going off all morning, and then doesn't get up, finally gets up, usually with this thing of, with the comment of, "Oh, I'm late." Yeah. Funny how that works. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's different. I have this different opinion. I think it's better to just sleep until 5:30, have one alarm that goes off and just get your butt out of bed. I'm just talking to myself here. I'm not talking about, this may not be how this other person works. They're not wired the same. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying it's different. I have a tendency to not even set an alarm. Even when I have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I typically just don't even set an alarm because I typically wake up. Now, my problem is if I do set an alarm and I wake up before my alarm, I have a tendency to stay in bed until my alarm goes off. And then it's like I'm conditioned to think, oh, now I got to get up. So I think I'm better off just like waking up and getting up. That's just me. Rather than counting on, 30 minutes to an hour and a half to get the waking process. Because I don't think, you don't sleep as well in that last hour and a half. You can't sleep. You're not really getting any rest. You're just getting aggravated with yourself and with the world and with your alarm. And you might be aggravating the people around you who are trying to sleep, who can't sleep after the first alarm. But I digress. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. I don't know. I'm not going to say anything. I never know when she might be listening to my show. So I have to be kind of cryptic. That way she doesn't know I'm talking about her. So, the main reason, and I realize the main reason she listens to the show is to find out what's in my cup. Because she doesn't know. She's right there when I'm pouring it in the morning, but she has no idea until she watches the show what's actually in my cup. So that because it might be a cup that I pour and then I leave sitting someplace and I forget where I left it. I pick up a different cup that I didn't realize I had left someplace for a couple days, and I find the cup and I start drinking out of that. Yeah, I have this morning I have V8 Fusion. I think it's V8. I think it's Fusion. It's just V8. Peach mango V8 juice. It's not splash. It's just the regular 100% juice. Vegetables, juices, whatever. On ice this morning, even though it's a little chilly in my house this morning. Yesterday, got up in the high temperatures again. Not as bad as it was the day before. Happened to be on an airplane ride the day before in an airplane that had no... had most airplanes have two air conditioners, at least. And this airplane had... one of them was broken. So this airplane was... let's just say it was a little bit warm inside. So I had a sweaty time. I had a sweaty time on Tuesday. In fact, Tuesday morning. I think that was actually that might have been Monday. Yeah, come to think of it, I think that was Monday, actually, that happened. I'm getting messed up on my days. By the way, Tuesday morning, I have to apologize. Tuesday morning, I recorded a show. Now, what I will probably do is put the show out. What I might do is drop it back into my digital system here. My DAW, as they call it. Digital audio workstation. And might redo it. I might do a new intro and explain what happened with the show. Because apparently I tried to upload the show and I had to leave. I was on a flight Tuesday morning and I had to get going right away. So I did this. I got up early. I did about a 20 or 30 minute show. I think it was 20 minutes or so. And then I took off and thought it was uploaded. And apparently it had not been uploaded. Because I went to upload last night's show. And noticed that there was no Tuesday morning show. I don't know what happened to it. It's not even in my files right now. As if it never even existed. So apparently it was on my laptop. And was never... Well, apparently... What might have happened was... the internet service may have been... Usually I save it to my laptop, and if I'm on the internet, then it stores that, takes that file, and it puts it into my my online cloud server. Well, it wasn't there. Like from the cloud server, it automatically loads it into my stuff, my platforms, but it apparently didn't do that. So there you go. That's my technical information for this morning. For those of you who are new to the show, thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Usually it's not this drab and dreary, and I'm not usually this groggy in the morning. I usually have a lot more pep. See, I can't even say the word pep with a lot of pep. Yeah. And I've been noticing things about people. I've been observing things about people lately. I'm kind of a people watcher anyway, so I kind of try to figure people out. And I noticed this guy yesterday. Who was a little bit, some people are a little high strung. They're wired just a little bit too tight. You know, and I think it takes people like that in our society to get certain things done. I understand that. Because if everybody was like me, nothing would get done. The world would just be piled up with stuff and it would just, nothing would get done. But everybody would be happy about it if everybody was like me. However, there are some people in the world who just, they can't put up with that. And they're extremely high strung. I started noticing like little things about people, the kind of jewelry they wear, the kind of, this one guy was wearing this like a little bracelet thing around his arm. And I noticed that he adjusted his seat like 20, at least, I started counting how many times he adjusted his seat in the course of about a 30-minute conversation. And because I noticed that he was adjusting his seat a lot, and when I started counting, I counted 21 times. However, he was at least, you know, half a dozen before that. It got so annoying at some point, I was just like, I'm going to start counting how many times he does this. And then this is the kind of things I do when I'm so if you're ever in a conversation with me, you know I'm probably analyzing every little thing you're doing. I'm probably not. I couldn't care less. But this was just annoying. So I started looking at this guy a little closer, like okay, what is this guy about here? What's his problem? What's his deal? And he had this little wire type bracelet type thing on one hand. And on the other hand, I can't remember what he had on this other wrist. He had something. It wasn't a watch. It was something else. And of course, then I noticed that his nails, he's a nail biter. Some people have their nails chewed back clear to the quick, I guess. Yeah, he has no fingernails, basically. I mean, not usable. Fingernails are a tool. There's kind of like the original Leatherman, I think, was just a bunch of fingernails. And this guy had No nails. I mean, it's like, how do you pick the hairs off of your soap without fingernails? I can just imagine what this guy's soap looks like. It's got to be all hairy soap. And so I don't know. I just observe those kinds of things about some people. Now, as I get older, I kind of I'm more reflective, more philosophical. I can sit around and in a group of people and just philosophize all day long. I don't accomplish anything. I just let the wisdom ooze out of me. Just oozes. And something's oozing out of me. I'm not sure exactly what it is. Maybe it's not wisdom. Maybe it's something else. Maybe I should check in with Joe Biden and see what he uses for his oozing tendencies. Or Jerry Nadler. I have there's a lot of things. I want to change the subject here real quick before I start going down that road. I think you know where this is going. And it's not a pretty sight. Let's talk about this gun law thing. I mentioned it briefly last night on last night's show. Todd Young, who is a representative here in Indiana, who I supported and I somewhat trusted and thought he was. Now, I know he's said some strange things in the past. I can get over a few things. I can't get over this. One of two things happened here. Either he did not read the bill, or he did not think about what the implications were of some of these things that he's voting on. Or he read the bill and he's a rhino. He is a coward, a gutless coward that read the bill and thought this was a good idea. Because it all sounded good. Folks, there are so many Trojan horses in here. There are so many ways to abuse the Second Amendment rights that we have in this bill. It goes beyond belief. If you start knocking it down and looking at it all, and Casey Hendricks actually yesterday really spelled out some really good scenarios with the way this bill is written and how it could be used against Second Amendment, those who exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now, whether you exercise them or not, you still have them. The idea that they can, they can take them away from me. I don't care. I don't want to have a gun anyway. That's not the point. If you have a vow of silence and you never want to speak again, then you don't care if anybody else has the right to free speech. Is that the way that works? We have this ability now based on anyone's accusation, not due process. This is not due process. Passing a bill like this is not due process to take away someone's rights. You can't do that. It's unconstitutional. You can't just willy-nilly say, well, now we're going to say that no one can have the right to freedom of religion. There's no more freedom of the press. We've just legislated it out now. And now you have to, you're guilty until proven innocent. You can't do that. And the states can't make that happen. See, the states can't override constitutional rights. They can't do that. And this is where they've infringed many times and lost in Supreme Court decisions, thankfully. Barely, sometimes in some cases. I mean, we are skating on a razor's edge here, folks, with some of the things that we're about to lose in terms of our rights. And once that happens, it will be, look at the party that's in power right now. It will be total totalitarian reign of your thoughts, of your principles, your ideas. Nancy Pelosi, who is what she called herself yesterday in yesterday's questions about, she was being questioned, I think maybe it was yesterday or day before, she was being questioned about these bombings and firebombings and the graffiti and the attacks that are happening on pro-rights organizations and their offices and churches. I'm very Catholic, and I believe in a woman's right to choose. So you were blatantly, flat out asked very point blank whether or not you would condemn You had the opportunity to come out and speak against the violence that's happening. And you decided to say that you were supporting a woman's right to choose. That's how you pivoted on that. That's where you're going to be. And because you're very Catholic, that makes it all okay, even though your bishop or whatever won't let you take communion. Because she's so Catholic, she's almost like the Pope. She's basically pretty much like she. I think she was introducing legislation to get him impeached. I think because they didn't like her stance on abortion. Yeah. So this gun law thing. That's who these people are. Okay. Now we've seen now maybe a little bit of a glimpse of who the rhinos are, or maybe the incompetent ones that need to be gone. Either way, these people need to be gone. This House of Representatives, there were a certain number of Republicans that voted for this thing. I think there was like 12 that voted for this thing. They wouldn't have had to, because all the Democrats, of course, all of them voted for it. So they didn't need these 12 Republicans to vote for it. They were committing political suicide, in my opinion. Now, it goes on to the Senate now. And I guarantee you, there's at least one senator that I know of who is talking about voting for this thing. It is bad legislation, and it doesn't change the laws that are on the books right now. It gives those laws less process. And this supposed boyfriend loophole thing and the red flag laws. Steven Crowder was on fire yesterday with the issue. Or maybe it was last night. Or yesterday's show, I guess. He was upset, very, very mad. And I'm upset about it too. Because if when you start breaking this thing down, which is what Casey Hendricks did yesterday, and I only listened to about 30 minutes of his show while I was driving. He broke it down really well and the real question, and this is one of the things that Steven Crowder said, was who decides what a red law is or what red flag law is, and who decides how it's enforced and how you get your rights back after they've been taken away? Someone can falsely accuse you very easily, and now you have your guns taken away, and your right to carry or keep a gun or buy a gun is gone. Until you can prove your innocence. This is guilty without due process. It's the assumption of guilt, and you have to prove your innocence, which is the absolute opposite. And I realize this gets into a gray area that's very difficult sometimes for us in our nation, because you're innocent until proven guilty. This gives you the preponderance of innocence. You might be guilty, but we have to assume you're innocent until we can prove you're guilty. And sometimes the default for that is difficult to swallow, because we know you're guilty, but we can't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. Too bad. But that's the default we have to have in order to have an orderly society, because otherwise we would have lots of people being accused of things like, oh, I don't know, stealing an election, trying to usurp the Electoral College process. Boy, there's some things that were said around about the 2016 election between the November of 2016 and the swearing in or the accounting of the electors in January of 2017, there were some serious comments being made by a lot of people on the left, including Van Jones, a lot of celebrities and a lot of other people talking about how they were going to subvert the electoral process. They were putting pressure on and threatening violence to the electors, and talking about how this could all be rolled back and changed, could change the outcome of the election simply by changing the electors. Van Jones even came out and said this. One of the things that has come about, of course, the January 6th, the J6 Commission saying, well, this couldn't be done. It can't be done. It can't be done. This was all Trump asked, you know, Pence to do something that couldn't be done. It was not legal. There was no legal path to do this. All of his legal counsel was telling him it couldn't be done. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. Some of his legal counsel, only the ones they would recognize, were telling him that he couldn't do that. The legal counsel that was telling him he could do that, and they've had a direct path to doing it, laid it out very clearly. Some of them, there was one of them, he put the whole thing on Twitter. This is the path. And they put the whole thing down. It was like a two-page, it was a big, long document thing. And it was bare bones, but it was a very sophisticated, based on constitutional things. You can do this. It could have been sent back to the legislatures of the state because we had full knowledge, and Pence had full knowledge, that some of the states broke the law in the way they did their elections. If you have knowledge of a law being broken, and you say, if somebody goes and robs a bank and they bring you the money to pay a bill, pay you something that they owe you, you can say, you know, I can't take this money. Or they say they went out and broke your drill. And they bring you back a drill, but they go out and steal one and bring it to you, and you know they stole it. So I can't accept this drill. This was a stolen drill. I can't take this in exchange for the one you broke. You need to make it right. Now you've done two things wrong. That's the same thing that happened here. Pence could have said, you know, we know that your election was illegal because you broke the law and it accounted to about 200,000 votes that were done illegally. I mean, maybe those people actually voted, but they were illegal votes because of the way you did your elections, because you didn't do it based on your own state law. So you need to send it back to the legislature and have them confront the fact that your attorney general in your state decided to subvert their authority and let you guys fight it out until you figure out how many of these votes are valid. We're going to postpone this little ceremony today. It doesn't have to happen on January 6th. It doesn't have to happen at a certain time. Obviously, they came out 4 hours later and did it anyway, after they almost all died. We almost lost our democracy. And I'm sorry, but I still keep hearing people saying Democratic Party. My head's about to pop off. Because we keep referring to this as the Democratic Party. It's not the Democratic. There's nothing Democratic about it. They're Democrats. That's the name. It's the name of the party. It doesn't make them more Democratic than any other party. That's just false. They're the biggest totalitarian. This is just like saying, you know, the easier on the people gun bill or whatever. They always come out with cookies and cream. This is the cookies and cream bill. Oh, that means everybody gets cookies and cream. No, that means we take them all away. That means you don't get yours, but some of the, that means the ones you have, they get taken away and we give them to somebody else. That's what that means. Oh, yeah, let's vote for that. It sounds good though. That's the way we do this kind of stuff. The Patriot Act. Oh, we're patriots now. We're patriots, and this is the Patriot Act. It's for the patriots. Yeah, we're taking away your rights, by the way. And guess what? And Stephen Crowder made this comment as well, and it's a very good point. The TSA is not protecting you necessarily from another terrorist attack, folks. They're pretty much just messing with you every time you go through to fly an airplane. The system let us down on 9/11. This amazing system that's so powerful, that has this mystique about it, the CIA, the NSA, all these three-letter organizations that supposedly are there to protect us, and they're watching our every move. Didn't catch the terrorists on 9/11. Now, what you believe about that is your business. If you want to think that that was a conspiracy and that they planned it and they did it, they did the whole thing. They had bombs in the building and they blew it up. No, that didn't happen, folks. There were real airplanes died on that day. Real pilots, real airplanes, real flights that we know of, people who know the people on those flights and the pilots and the airplanes. They didn't land somewhere else. And now they're living in a witness protection program. Did the government use what happened? Absolutely, they did. Because every time something like that happens, the government thinks they have to do something. This crisis, the boogeyman is out there to get us. Now, just as a prime example, we hear Mary Garland come out. I can't even imitate his voice. It is so grating on me. Not only just the way he talks, but it's the whole tone of his voice bothers me. Deeply in my spirit, it bothers me. When he comes out and talks about one of the biggest, probably the largest threat to our nation right now is white supremacist groups. Not Russian computer hacking, not Chinese infiltration of our school systems. None of that. That's not a threat. It's white supremacist groups. Well, nobody believes it. He comes out and makes the threat of the boogeyman coming after us, and everybody's kind of like, yeah, whatever. There's like, what, 1,500 of them in the country? Of course, they label everything. Anybody on the right is a white supremacist, so therefore anybody who wears a MAGA hat is a white supremacist, racist. They have successfully labeled. There's about 30% of the Democrat Party is whole hog believing that anybody who supports Donald Trump is a racist. Anybody who voted for Donald Trump is a racist. And Donald Trump himself is, of course, the master racist. They actually believe that. It's almost 20. It's like 28%, I think, is what the last figure I heard. They actually believe everybody who supported him was racist. It's all about racism. That's unbelievable to me. But that's the rhetoric from the left that they would have you believe. Now, the way they get around this is then they send out, all of a sudden, in Idaho, of all places, 31 men arrested because they were conspiring to incite a riot. They didn't have weapons. All they had was riot gear and a bullhorn. They were all arrested. And this big spectacle was made of this whole thing. They busted it before it actually happened because they were going to go to a rally of some kind and protest. Counter-protest or whatever they were doing. Here again, think about Antifa. Well, Antifa is not an organization. They're just an idea. Well, this idea is pretty well organized. So you're just saying that spontaneously all these people with this idea are running around with the same color clothes on, all organized together, running around in groups, doing the same thing all in all these group places all over the country. It's just an idea. We can't legislate an idea. We can't stop an idea. No, an idea is what's in my head. When I start acting on that idea, well, it was just an idea. You know, if I want to go out and commit some crime, well, it was just an idea. I wasn't organized. Right? I didn't have, you know, I committed the crime because it was just, you know, it was just an idea. Oh, okay, well, you're right then. It wasn't my intent, you know, Hillary. had no intent of doing anything wrong when I had my multiple servers outside of the system and put classified information on my servers, my personal servers, and destroyed a lot of my phones and deleted a lot of my emails that were subpoenaed. Because my lawyers told me to. She's hiding behind her lawyers. She is a lawyer, by the way. She was. She's been disbarred. Hiding behind her. Well, it was based on legal counsel. Of course, Trump can say that, and that it doesn't matter based on legal counsel. Well, your Rudy Giuliani was your legal counsel, and he was drunk at the time. What does that have to do with anything? It wasn't his only legal counsel, and it's all hearsay that he was drunk. It's not. The things that would have been allowed in this January 6th commission would never be allowed in a court of law. And yet Merrick Garland is taking it seriously, which just tell it's just he what they're looking for is for the polls. And they've got supposedly this poll has been taken where 58% of the people think that Donald Trump was responsible for January 6th. Really, 58% of the people. And you've got like 200,000 people watching this thing. It's on all the networks. You can't even get like serious watchers of this thing at all. A lot of people don't even know what's going on. They listen to the 30-second sound bites that they get. Which is, that's what this is all about. They're trying to get these 30-second sound bites in. And everybody's trying to blame Trump for everything. We're not buying it, folks. I'm not buying it. This whole thing is a sham. It's a scam. You don't have any cross-examination. If you think this is a bipartisan commission, you're out of your mind. Because it's not. It's just because you got two Republicans on there, Republicans who hate Trump. And it's like nobody's asking these witnesses or this testimony. They're not giving any cross-examination whatsoever. There's none. There's no defense attorney here. There's nobody speaking up on Trump's behalf. And at the end of the day, this is what they say. They'll say that we have to never, ever, ever, ever. This one guy said it like five times. Never, ever, never, ever, never, ever, ever, ever. Over how many times that was probably only four. Allow Donald Trump to be back in office again. This is what he said. This was a commentator talking to another commentator on the commentator, MSNBC or CNN or whatever it was. They need to know. We're tired of this rhetoric. We're tired of this baloney. I think there's a lot of people on the left even now that are waking up to this. Jimmy Dore is one of them. And they're calling them out a little bit on this stuff. Bill Maher, of all people, is even calling them out on this stuff. And of course, they're attacking him because of it. But that's just par for the course. I guess something happened over the weekend. It was interesting. I listened to, there's a little blurb about something on Facts Matter by Roman Balmakov. He was talking about, what's the little town, a little province that's just kind of like Russia's Alaska. There's a little territory that they have that's outside of their federation. It's kind of surrounded by a bunch of other stuff, but it has access to the Baltic Sea, I think. And so it's like where they have one place where they have a port. It's like a million people living there. Like I think the population there is actually higher than Alaska itself. And they just have basically put a blockade in effect in that little federation area there, which this is causing problems. And this stuff just does nothing but push us a little bit closer to World War III. We'll see. We'll see how this all goes, but I don't know how it's gonna work out. Apparently, there's a what is I'm seeing a thing on the news feed here. Plane crashes in Miami, and this passenger films his escape from the plane. I'm not sure exactly how big the plane was. I'm gonna play this and see just what this could possibly be. Films crash. aboard a Miami airport filmed escape. Well, that's a fairly large airplane. Looks like it's possibly at least a regional jet. No, it's got slides on it. That's bigger than a regional. And there's smoke coming out someplace. They're going down the slides. Well, that's interesting. Oh, it's on fire. Yeah, that's a large airplane. This is it kind of looks like a 90-seat regional jet, but I can't tell for sure here. And the 90-seater does not have a slide in the front. This looks more like a what is that thing? Yeah, they only show a glimpse of it here. No, that's got no, those engines. Where are the engines there? No, the engines are in the tail. It almost looks like an MD-80 or something. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I don't think that's a 90-seater. That's something larger than that. So I don't know when that crash happened, but it's apparently it's kind of interesting. Well, so there you go. That was exciting for me to watch. I know you couldn't see it, so it wasn't that exciting. Tucker Carlson lately has been going after some people. He's gone. He's been a kind of a Ukrainian war opponent. I guess it's just make sure I use the right word. It's early. He's been an opponent to the war. And so he's come out with some very tough statements on the whole thing. And I have to kind of agree with him on most of this stuff. My understanding is there's more money going now that they're putting up to go to Ukraine again. Ukraine relief, or whatever they're calling it, Ukraine funding. What are we funding there exactly? What exactly are we printing this money out for? It's like as if we've got all this money to just throw around. Stop and think about $40 billion and how long it takes. Let's see if I can even figure this out here. I know I can't do enough zeros on my calculator. $40 billion. There's 40,000. See, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, there's 4 million, there's 40 million. So I need to go 3 more zeros. There's 40 billion. I think that's 40 billion. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. There's 40 billion divided by 300 million. Yep. Every man, woman, and child in the United States has given a little over $13 a piece. Every single one of us just gave $13 to Ukraine. So if you're a family of four, take 13 times four. That's what you just gave to Ukraine. Just gave it away with no accountability whatsoever. They just came and take it. They just came and took it from you. Well, I didn't feel it. Yeah, you'll feel it. You're feeling it in every time. Go fill up your gas tank. Go buy some food. Go do anything. When you realize that every time they do this to you, they're taking away from you. They're taking that value of your dollar away. And where is it going? And this isn't just the only thing they're spending, folks. If you understand how the money system works, do some delving into the whole thing of how the Federal Reserve interacts with our national debt and how they print money out of nothing and then we owe it to them, but we owe them money back with interest. It's like, okay, so you made something out of nothing, you're loaning it to me, and I'm supposed to pay it back to you with more than what I... So where do I come up with the money to pay you back? Well, you need to borrow more money from us. Pay it back. Because you spent that money. So it's all debt. All money is representative of debt. Ever since Nixon took the standard out. So anyway. Now, see, I was just in a discussion with a guy. And I wish I would have had time to discuss things a little bit more with him. He's a younger guy. He was not alive when Nixon was president. Now, you have to understand the situation we were in with Nixon. Nixon was the best thing we had at the time. The Nixon administration was not as evil as you would have, as the Democrats would have you believe. What we got after Nixon and Ford was Jimmy Carter. What we got after Trump was Joe Biden. Now, realistically, what we got after Reagan and Bush was Clinton. And frankly, even though Clinton behind the scenes and in very sneaky, underminded ways was undermining a lot of things that we are now facing now, especially the deals he made with China. Actually, Nixon made a lot of deals with China as well. But Clinton was up to his eyeballs with China. And during the Clinton administration is when the whole Russian thing, the corruption that was happening there, was escalated in all of the countries around Russia that used to be part of the Soviet Union. There's so many things that happened there. I can't even begin to start talking about all that. But all the things that were, the policies that the United States had at that time that were changing all this stuff, fostered all of the money laundering and stuff that was going on with all of the former Soviet Union bloc countries. And in the process of doing all of that, Clinton dialed it back to some degree because he even came out and made that famous speech, "The era of big government is over." They got shellacked. They got hit hard in the midterms when they lost control of the House and the Senate. Next thing you know, Newt Gingrich is in there with the contract with America that they broke. But that's... Now, Newt, I tell you, I've never been a big fan of Newt Gingrich. I thought he was pretty good when he first started in and he was doing his thing. And then I think he was running in the primary for president, I believe, at one point against Clinton. I believe it was in 96, the 96 election, I believe. And didn't make it, of course. Now, I don't know. It may have been in the 2000 election cycle. I don't know. He didn't make it through the primary, regardless. And one of the things that I was concerned about was that he had been kind of showing himself to be a big government establishment guy. And I think that even then I was kind of turned off by that. Very intelligent individual. But he was not handling the ideals and the philosophical foundations. Now, granted, he would have been better than Al Gore, or even I think he would have been better than Clinton. But Clinton pulled it off. Clinton pulled off cheating on his wife for 12 years with flowers, having multiple partners, and still is the darling child, so to speak, of the Democrat Party. Now, they don't mention him a whole lot. The Republican Party mentions Reagan all the time. They're very Reagan-esque. They're very, very much like Reagan. Very, very, very Reagan, right? Whatever you're Reagan. Reagan's kind of the restorer of the Republican movement. Kind of a bit of an icon, you could say, a representative, a picture of conservatism, so to speak. Even though he wasn't even that he was very limited in what he could do at that time. Even he had to deal with Tip O'Neill and all those guys. But so we had this guy. But Clinton is not brought up very much at all as being the, you know, because of all his philanthropy, all of his stuff. Philandering? I don't know what is it called. I don't know if there's one of them's like being very giving and the other one's being, you know, very So promiscuous, I guess you'd say. So in the Oval Office, he's taking advantage of an intern And that's okay. He's not called out on that. He still has a platform to speak. Joe Biden has done some things on camera that are kind of just creepy and weird and disgusting. And of course, he's been accused of some things that are legitimate. He's got some actual accusations that definitely hold water. He has a son with pictures of his son doing all kinds of things that he has the audacity to say, come out in a, and he came out in this weird, creepy interview he was doing, where he concocted this weird story of how he was at this place, someplace over in some other country, woke up, I think it was in Russia, actually, or maybe it was in Ukraine, I don't know. He woke up and there's this, he passed out in this hot tub. Now, I don't know how many hot tubs you've been in, folks. Most hot tubs, if you fall asleep or you pass out in a hot tub, you go unconscious because of a bender that you go on. He said he went on a bender of some kind. He was doing something. I don't know, it was drugs and alcohol, whatever it was. Gets in a hot tub and passes out and wakes up. And he comes to, there's this, I don't know how he describes it, but it's an escort. It was a prostitute in the hot tub who was a Russian plant. He could tell by looking at her, I guess. Him or her. I don't want to assume anything. And apparently this worker had access to his laptop. And after that, his laptop went missing. So somehow Russia hacked all this stuff, like took pictures of him and did all this stuff and typed up all these emails about his dealings with Russia's. Really? This is supposed to be legitimately giving him plausible deniability. That's probably not my laptop. Or if it is my laptop, that Russian's got a hold of it as a Russian hack. Russia, Russia, Russia. Yeah, because that's what they were after. Yeah, because they had to make something up to get something on, some dirt on you. That's just common sense. If people just step back occasionally and start asking some real questions about some things, the way things are done, the way they present things, like this $40 billion we are sending to Ukraine. Oh, yeah, we got to get behind this. We got to send them money. Who are we sending the money to? Who's receiving this check? What bank account is it going into? What is the money going to be spent on? Who's accountable for this? Are we just writing a check out to Zelensky? Make that out to Vladimir Zelensky. There you go. $40 billion. There you go. There you go, sir. You can deposit that in your bank and you can spend it however you want to. That's not how our system's supposed to work. You can't just take the American tax dollars and money, taxpayers' money. Well, we didn't take that from the taxpayers. We took that from corporate interests and from our whatever. We monetized that. We just printed that money out to you. Well, then you're taking it from our treasury. You're taking it from our GDP. You're taking it from the consumer. See, this is where they get you on this stuff. Or we're gonna tax these corporations. They need to pay their fair share. Okay. Corporation is just a business, like any other business. And I've owned a couple of corporations, and that doesn't mean that you're a big business. In fact, I was basically a sole proprietor, and then found out that I would have been better off just having a sole proprietorship than having a corporation. A corporate structure will protect the individual to some degree. An LLC is a corporation; it's a limited liability corporation. Doesn't mean you're a big corporate operator. No, just because you're a corporation doesn't mean you're a huge company that makes billions of dollars. We've equated the two together. And most corporations are small. A lot of corporations are less than 10 people working there. And they do less than $1 million a year in business. But we know they don't. They just assume, well, you're own a business, you only have all this money. So we go there, you know, with this stuff, and we're going to tax these people. So let's say they come to a business owner and they say, well, you know, you got this big business here, you're making a lot of money. Yeah, I know, you put everything on the line. You took your 401k out of your, you know, when you left the company you were working for, you took all your money, you took everything you had, you borrowed everything up to the hilt, you put all your money into this business, and now look at all the money you're making. Let's talk to the guys who didn't make it, who tried to do that. You know, it's fewer than one out of every 10 people who do that, who put everything on the line and try to start a business, even franchises sometimes. Turnkey operations where they go into debt over their heads, spend the rest of their lives paying it off. Oh yeah, you look at all that money you're making. We need to tax you more. Okay, so the person poured their life into this, made it a success, and now for some reason they owe the government more money because they worked hard. Now you owe them more. Well, what are you going to do? They're going to tax you more. Oh, okay, so I guess I still have to sell a cheeseburger for $2. So I'm going to keep selling that cheeseburger for $2. Now you've taxed me, and I was making 50 cents a cheeseburger per cheeseburger. Now I'm only making 25 cents per cheeseburger. I guess I'll just have to eat that. No, they're going to add 25 cents to that cheeseburger. Now that cheeseburger is going to be $2.25 to pay their taxes. So they're still making 50 cents a cheeseburger. Now they might make it 45 cents a cheeseburger. Who knows? Maybe they can cut costs other ways and still make their profit. Either way, they've got to take something out of that experience. They either have to buy cheaper beef, cheaper buns. They have to clean their bathrooms maybe 20% less. They're not going to provide napkins with every order or straws. Or maybe the paper that they're using to wrap that cheeseburger in, they're not going to provide that either. Or you don't want condiments with that? That'll be 25 cents. Things like that. This is how you start punishing businesses for doing a good service and providing good service and becoming popular and making a lot of money. And now all of a sudden they got to pay more taxes. So now they got to take something out of somewhere. Either they got to charge you more. So the consumer at the end of the day is paying for this. That's what I'm getting at. The point I'm trying to make here is the consumer, at the end of the day, the consumer is the one who pays for those higher taxes. This whole idea that we're going to alleviate some of the pain on people at the pump by giving people a federal tax holiday for 3 months. Well, 3 months. Let's see. How does that work out? See, we got July, August, and September. Getting right into the election cycle, aren't we? Yeah, we've got to keep that thing down. We've got to take 18 cents off the gallon of gas, because you know we're getting close to an election year. Got to keep that working on it. And when you reinstate it, bingo, gas prices go back. So as soon as the Republicans get in, they're going to try to keep it down until the Republicans get in office. Of course, Republicans, you know, they won't they'll let that go back. And of course then bingo, price of gas goes back up again. Oh wow, it went up 20 cents when the Republicans got in. And the Republicans have been caving and going along with this emotional drivel to the point where I don't trust them anymore. Again, this is emotional reaction to things, knee-jerk reaction. They're not being at all realistic, sensible, thoughtful about what they're doing with regard to protecting the individual's rights. They're not thinking about your individual rights, your right to self, to protect yourself. They're looking at ways that this can be subverted very easily, that your rights can be taken away without due process. Legislation is not due process. It cannot legislate your rights away. These are enumerated. These are protected. These are upheld and endowed by our Creator. They're not given to us by the state, and they cannot be taken away. It cannot be infringed. The only one, in fact, the only right in all of the amendments, the Bill of Rights, in all of those, the only one that says it can't be infringed is the Second Amendment. Infringed, that means impeded, restricted in any way. In any way. And yet they do all the time. Now they're talking about going at, they've done this, didn't this during the Obama administration, did the same thing. Tried to go after ammunition. Well, now we're gonna make registration of ammunition. You can buy the gun, but you can't buy the ammunition. You run into all kinds of problems with that. Now, of course, now they're going to, one of the things in the bill that's really quite troubling to me is, let's say I buy a handgun and I want to sell that handgun later on down the road. If I sell that handgun for a profit, in other words, if it goes up in value, let's say it's a collector's item and it goes up in value and I want to sell it for a profit, I cannot do that without an FFL license, Federal Firearms License, which is ridiculously high priced. And it registers you as a gun dealer, which of course, now you're federally registered as a gun dealer and they can take that away from you at any time they want. This is, so you can sell it at a loss or at the same price you paid for it. Well, now people aren't going to buy guns as an investment anymore unless you have an FFL, and that's not, then you're, you know, speculating on all kinds of weird things. And just like in Canada, strangely enough, it's strange how these laws start to get enacted all at the same time and they all kind of look the same. This law in Canada, you can't even transfer. If you own a handgun, you can't, like, let's say a father owns a handgun, wants to transfer it to his son. Well, I'm passing away and I've got cancer. I'm going to be dead in 2 months. I would like to pass my guns on to my family. This has been in my family for the last two generations, and I'd like to pass my grandfather's Smith & Wesson off to my son, or to my grandson. You can't do that. That's now illegal in Canada. It's illegal to do that in Canada, because you're a lawbreaker if you do that. You're breaking the law if you pass that handgun on to your child, who, you know, happens to be 21 years old, whatever. Background checks for people to 21 and under. There's already background checks. They are to make a phone call before you when you buy a gun. I have a concealed carry permit in the state of Indiana. Lifetime concealed carry permit. And Indiana just passed a law that's a constitutional carry law. And of course, as soon as they passed that law, everybody started just shooting each other all the time. It's the wild, wild west here now in Indiana, because everybody's carrying now because you can. You know, that's not the case. I happen to have a lifetime concealed carry permit in the state of Indiana. Now, the advantage that gives me with Indiana is minimal, because I have the right to carry here now anyway because it's constitutional carry. What I don't have is the right to carry in Michigan. However, my concealed carry permit is reciprocal in Michigan. I can carry my handgun concealed in Michigan because I have that permit. So it's not, it doesn't, just because Indiana allows you to carry one doesn't mean I can carry it into another state unless that state is a constitutional carry state, which, think about that. Oh, we've decided to go with the Constitution on this and allow everybody to carry based on the Constitution. Oh, well, shouldn't that be kind of the process anyway? Shouldn't that already be the whole thing? Again, this is that whole thing about legislation. Why are we going to back up and think about some of this stuff once in a while? Seemed a little bit odd. Oh. It's been a long show, and I don't know that I've ever really said anything. I don't even know what I'm going to call this show. I don't ever make up the title to my show until after it's done, because I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I think today's show is just going to be mishmash. A mishmash of mash. That's probably what it's going to be called. Most interesting thing was what was in my cup, probably. I don't know. I appreciate you listening. If you've listened this far into this thing, then congratulations. You've won the title for Best at Killing Time. You just killed a bunch of time. And I appreciate you killing time with me. I do actually appreciate that. Sometime, at some point, there's going to be a way to interact with my audience. I'll start taking phone calls or something. Probably after I retire. It could be a couple weeks. Or maybe tomorrow. I don't know. Who knows? I might be on live later today. Definitely might be live tomorrow morning. Just be aware of that. So God bless everybody. Have a great day.